noise is just the beginning, and it's like from noise, if you know how to use it, you can turn any same amount of noise into like really elegant, interesting sound. Even if you just put multiple delays on the noisiest sound in the world, it can become musical. And that's just like the most basic thing. I wanted to make an instrument that was like if Prometheus and Pandora had a child.
Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest this week is Alexandra Fiera, inventor of the almost indescribable Demon Box. Demon Box is an upcoming experimental sound-making device from Eternal Research. Alexandra gave us all the details, as well as the background of the device, and who might find it most useful. I spoke with Alexandra from a home in Los Angeles. Alexandra, hello.
Hi, how you doing? Hi.
Okay, well, let's start with the Demon Box. Okay. So what is it?
Well, it's an instrument that relies on the use of primarily EMF, but in a sense, to my design of it, that it's in a way that's very different than the way most people have used EMF in the past, because it's one of those forces or effects that kind of can come off at the outset as like kind of like being cool, like kind of a gimmick. And it can be very easily construed as like a magical thing, but because it's so novel in a certain way, I feel like people don't really necessarily take it as far as it can go and see like what the full potential of it is. And this kind of began just as like a little wooden box that I made in a Brooklyn apartment like 8 years ago. And then now it's sort of, this is kind of like a 3D printed early prototype. And, you know, it's an instrument that is meant to kind of help people feel and sense the world in a different way. And I feel like for me, that's something I've always dealt with, because I'm, you know, very, I would say like neuroatypical. I have like a lot of synesthesia in my experience. And to me, I felt like every instrument that I've ever encountered, like I love so many instruments, but they never felt like they resonated with me in the same way. And so to me, it was like, I kind of just wanted to validate my personal experience and make an instrument that would be like, if I had to make one instrument before I die, like what would it be? And so that's what this kind of is.
But the interesting thing here is it works on EMF, and not a lot of people play with that.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, I have a big background in like experimental music, and I've never achieved any notoriety per se of any of it, but I do it like very compulsively for a long time, and I love doing it. And I've just experimented with a lot of these effects for many years. So, you know, the thing with EMF is like, it kind of sounds like noise. And the thing is, you know, my many years doing noise music, it's like, well, noise is just the beginning. And it's like from noise, if you know how to use it, you can turn any same amount of noise into like really elegant, interesting sounds through the use of various types of effects. And, you know, even if you just put multiple delays on the noisiest sound in the world, it can become musical. And that's just like the most basic thing. So like something that sounds like static, there's actually like little patterns in there that you just can't hear. Like you can't hear in the way that we hear patterns like normally, but there's patterns in all of the noise that you ever hear. And when you slow it down with the use of a delay, it kind of allows you to hear those patterns that they're, you know, and feel them in a new way. So it's really, it's kind of like an infinitesimal type of music where you're kind of trying to see how much you can exploit like 1 second of sound. Like the 1 second of noise, if you stretch it out, can be like really wild like sounds. And so it's like, it kind of, while this began as a challenge, like, you know, what can I do with this? What can I do with like the knowledge I have? Because my background is not really in electrical engineering. My business partner, Bryn, is kind of the electrical engineer. I'm more of like a visual artist, poet. I've done publishing. I've kind of done woodworking. I've built many things. I've done like designed merchandise for people. And I've done like, you know, industrial arts in that way. So it's kind of just like a way to bring everything together.
Okay. So what I'm curious about is the design. Mm-hmm. So there's three channels on this. How did you come up with three channels?
Well, I'm really into like numbers and to like number theories and, you know, and to me, you know, so much of music is about left and right, two channel, four channel. It's all these even numbers. And, you know, there's this type of theory like where kind of design kind of inspires a certain type of usage. It's like You know, it's like when people talk about, oh, we live in a right-hand world. It's like, well, people who are left-handed have trouble. And it's like, you know, design does kind of imply like a certain type of usage. You know, if doors open a certain way, we open doors a certain way. You know, if there's like all these implied usages based on how things are designed. And so for me, it was like, I wanted to kind of break apart that binary of the left and the right and be like, well, it's three mono outputs. And then there's one stereo output that is kind of a sort of a proprietary blend. There's also three CV outputs. There's also MIDI output and also three auxiliary inputs. So, and they can all work sort of simultaneously. So from a single sound source, you can then have this really wide array of different types of outputs at the same time. And that allows you from just like a little piece of noise to then like send it out in different ways. Like, you know, take one channel and put like a delay on it, one do like a pitch shifter or an octave shift, and then one can just be like a sort of a channel EQ or some other thing. And just on a very basic level, you can do that just for three of the outputs. And what it allows you to do is just take like a very small amount of sound and just like break it apart and just see the potential in it. And that's sort of what I kind of dreamed about. And you know, our goal was to, you know, kind of build that into the architecture, like build in like a different way of thinking into the architecture of the actual instrument. You know, it's like a square peg in a round hole thing. It's like you kind of like you give someone a problem that seems like impossible or that seems strange, but then people start thinking differently because they're given a new shape or a new thing. So I kind of wanted to build, because by all means, this machine probably could fit into a rectangle and it could have just two stereo outputs. You could do that if you wanted to, but I wanted the whole design process to be like, give people problems that will make them make different solutions than they're normally used to. And that was like the whole thing. So there's like the instrument and there's like the ideology that's around it, which I think is just as much a part of it.
Okay, so what's typically used to activate it? Do you need to activate it? Like I saw the electric drill that you used, for instance. Does it need to be activated that way, or are there other ways?
There's so many ways, which is amazing. And I think like I'm really excited to see the potential of how many ways, because there's definitely ways that I don't know that we've never tried. Because, you know, even one of the engineers we've been working with just decided, oh, I'll try like a wireless mouse for my computer and put on there. And just the wireless signal was creating really cool sounds. And so, and then when you click the button, it like sends a signal and you can like amplify that and use that. So it's kind of like, I think the cool thing about it is that, you know, we get to like re-engage with all these electronic devices in our world in a completely different way. And that, you know, even your phone, when I first experimented with it, I would just like put it on there and be like, it would just be like noise. And then literally not long ago, I just was experimenting with it. I left my phone on there long enough. And then all of a sudden I got a notification that like someone had texted me. And when the notification came up, it like changed the sound because it was like the processing change. And I'm like, and then the sound it made was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like, what I was thinking is like, if you wanted to make an album, you could just be like, tell all your friends, text me between these hours, make me sounds, and I'm gonna like manipulate them. And it's kind of like, you know, a really interesting concept. And I hope someone tries it. But so it's like just from a phone that's like ubiquitous, like there's this whole other way of applying it to making music. And I just like that was my goal, like make people like force people to think differently without realizing they're being forced to think differently.
This is pretty cool because it's coming from a different direction than any other instrument I can think of. But yes, yet it is a legitimate instrument.
I mean, it's really weird because to hear you say that is like it almost brings tears in my eyes because like so much of this process was like, is this just a gimmick? Is this just like a mouse trick that is going to be like people think it's cool and be like, oh, put it to the side. But I'm like, I really in the design process, like how can we take this like phenomena and like make it into a legitimate instrument that's like people feel like it's worth their time and their money because those are like valuable things. Like I wanted to like put in people's hands something that felt valuable, that felt like a door to a new world. And so to hear that is like really really great to hear something.
There are nine controls on it. I suspect that it's three per channel, right?
There's just, you know, a lot of what happens in it is just based on the architecture, and then there's this digital aspect that has all these other outputs, but I wanted to keep it simple because the magnitude of these manifold effects working upon each other is so potential in itself that it's like we didn't need to like add a button or for like attack or release or anything. It was really just like volume, blend, and like auxiliary volume. It's literally three because you can put in an auxiliary signal. You can also do a feedback loop if you want from the outputs. You can feed it back in and then manipulate everything. So it's like I wanted this. I was thinking about this yesterday. I wanted to make an instrument that was like if Prometheus and Pandora had a child. It's like what can it's like,
When is it going to be released?
I mean, we're starting the Kickstarter September 3rd. We're kind of figuring out how many units we'll put together in there. I mean, it's on the orders of hundreds, but with the sort of interest we're seeing, it's like posing an issue like, well, we have to then think of it bigger and it's all good problems to have, but it's also I feel like my job as the CEO, it kind of shifts from designer to like all of a sudden project manager and to like, it's all exciting stuff, but it's the first time I've ever like built something this complex with so many people involved that it's like it's kind of that big excitement. I imagine it's like you're about to start like a film director about to start filming a movie feels like that intrepidation right before. It's like probably like that.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so give me some of your background.
Well, it's weird. I've been thinking about it a lot because people have been asking me different questions lately. I would say for many years, most of my life, I was a musician without an instrument. From the time I was a little kid, I would be like tapping on things. I'd be like, I loved like film music when I was growing up. I'd buy soundtracks like on CDs and I'd listen to them. And even if I didn't even watch the movie, I would just like listen to the music. I just loved it. And it kind of like, because it had like a visual aspect and it kind of felt, very close to what I wanted. And I've tried many times in my life to learn an instrument and I failed many times. Like when I was in fourth grade, I wanted to learn the cello and I remember like being really into it. But after a month, my father was like, you have to give this up. It's the one instrument that you can't take the school bus and I'm not driving you anymore. So it's like, oh, then no more cello. And then I remember like wanting to do chorus because I'm like, oh, if I can't have an instrument, I'll just have my voice. And then it's like, you can't take that on the bus anytime. But my father like was like, why would you ever want to do the chorus? And he wouldn't sign the paper to let me do it. And so like, oh, and then I'm like, well, I want to learn guitar. And then I remember buying a guitar, but I didn't know even how to tune it. I just was like, I was like, I knew it was like this thing. And I probably seemed so like strange just like trying to play this instrument that I didn't know you could even learn. I grew up in like a rural place and I felt like very isolated from the world. So it's like I loved instruments, but I didn't know how to play them. I think the closest thing to an instrument I ever learned was my grandmother had this Hammond S3 chord organ in her basement where you play like a chord with your left hand. And the great thing about it is like with very little effort, you could like create a chord which sounded musical, and then you could like play a melody with your right hand, and there's all these filters. And it was like from the 50s or 60s. And I actually still have it when I kind of been very much when she passed away, I was like, if I could have anything, I just want that organ because it's such a beautiful, simple, magnificent instrument. And I think that instrument made me realize that, well, this is a very weird instrument, and it kind of like does some of the work for you. It's like, well, people always try and play chords. Well, this plays chords for you, and it doesn't feel like cheating. It feels magic. And it's like, and then I love melodies. I love jazz. I love like, I love like John Coltrane's Ascension album to me is like the most amazing thing ever. And I'm like, wow, this kind of like allows me the closest thing I've ever gotten to like making music on my own was when I like felt like, oh, I could play a chord and I can play some melody without like being taught anything. So that was like my first, like, oh, I love that. But it actually wasn't until I was like 30 that I learned to play piano. I'm 40 now, and I didn't play guitar until I was 25. So my musical life has been very on a different trajectory than most. Like I would have almost killed to like learn classical music as a child and been around that because I just love that so much. But I felt like kind of like in a castaway from that world and and a spectator forever. And that kind of made me really hungry to like for music. So, and then that's like the musical side. And then, my family, we had some my great grandfather, I felt like was a very aspiring person. He was someone who was like he's known as a publisher. He was a he sort of they say like is the grandfather of organics in America. His name is J.A. Rodale. He like kind of was this publisher around organics, like, starting the organic movement in America. And I grew up near his house and I would go and visit it and see his library. And he like in his life he made a million things. Like he made like metal reliefs, he made switches, he had an electrical company for a time. He published, he was a humorist. He just kind of like made his life about like learning and throwing yourself into knowledge. And it was just really inspiring to see like to see that. And he actually had a company for a while with my great uncle, who is this person named Joel Spira. And he, as I've been told, is the inventor of the dimmer, like the household dimmer. And their company now, like we're still connected to that family, but they're Lutron, the company, like all the
Oh yeah.
household dimmers. And so my mother would talk about the dimmer and that whole story, and I was always amazed by them. It's like it to me, it's like a perfectly synesthetic music experience. Like the light goes up, it's like, it feels like that more light is like a higher pitch, lower light is a lower pitch, and so I think that weird connection allowed me to like hear music as like in a synesthetic example, like so. I feel like those are like kind of my inspirations, but I would say that from all that, it just has taken so long to get to this point. I mean, I just turned 40 and I started this project when I was like 32 or something. So there's been many times where I feel like, oh, I've started so late, but at the same time, I feel like I've tried so many things. And at this point, I'm feeling like, wow, I'm so glad I learned how to do like letterpress printing when I was 20, because I learned it teaches me this thing. So it's all coming together in a very interesting way. So
Yeah, it happens when you're ready, I guess.
I've been ready for a long time, but then you have to wait for the opportunity. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you've been working on this for 8 years. How much has it changed?
I mean, it's changed a lot. Like it literally was a wooden box that was I literally didn't even I made from pieces at a hardware store. And then for a long time it was very simple. It was just about like exploring the effect, And then once we got to the point of actually building the enclosure for it, I was like, well, this is a lot of work to do. So maybe we should see like the potential of this effect and how we can actually put it into it. Because like you're spending a lot of time and things. It's like, well, I don't want it to just have like one channel and one thing. I need like, what's the most we can do to make our time worth it in a way? And I'm like, well, what if we did nine of them? I was like, well, let's just choose something divisible by three. And we tried nine and it worked, but it was like not interesting enough. It was like still very quiet. And then I was like, well, what if we try like, what's the most we can try that's like a number three? I'm like, well, 23, 33, because we can divide it by 11 and we can do like, and then I was like, okay, let's try and put 33 in. And like, how do you fit 33 inductors onto something to look aesthetic, to be functional? And that was a big problem too. But, my design background, my art background, kind of made me realize that the best way to figure this out is just start open a journal and just start drawing shapes. And between that and a few people, we were able to find this sort of interlocking triangle shape that worked and had a great response. And and it just became like, for many, many iterations, it was like, journals full of drawings. So yeah, it's very cool.
Who do you see using this?
Well, the thing is, it's like I kind of really value the materials in our world in a certain way. And I felt like I couldn't make an instrument unless it was like kind of for everybody. Like I didn't want to make like spend all this time have it be like just something that's like for a very specialized group. I want it to be like something that people that are doing sunshine goth music can use it, and black metal film scoring. Like I was like, I want this to be like the next instrument that is used in this film. And I would love to see it be used for film scoring. I would love to be seeing it used even in like a physics class where people are learning about electromagnetic fields and the dimensionality of them. And I'd love to see people just, who are just maybe pure experimentalists being like, what even makes these sounds? And then the combination of all these people working with this creates the full potential of this instrument, because I wanted to make it like in a very exponential way, like almost ubiquitous, like a guitar. A guitar can be used in a million different ways. And I wanted to make it an instrument that might be novel, but then also like people will see the potential because it is there. And it's like this extreme, faith backed by like many iterations and design that like maybe this could be something that everyone could find a use for. And that was kind of the goal in all of it, is that it would be for as many people as felt like they wanted to try it. And then we would also make it like a price point that would not be prohibitive because, I just really believe that, music is like this very important knowledge that we all have to have in communication. And it's like, it really needs to be accessible, like as much as education should be accessible. It's like, very, very important.
What is the price point?
The Kickstarter, it's going to be a little bit less than you'll find it in other ways. And so it'll be like early birds where it'll be around like $450. And then when it's kind of a retail product, it'll probably be $600 or $700. And I know that sounds perhaps like a lot of money, but we really have worked to make it worth it because, when I do the math about like if you were to break all this into separate parts and make it as an experiment, I feel like it would probably cost around $3,000 to $4,000 to put all the parts together in a room if you were to do this outside the DM box. So to me, it's like this is a way to save money if you in a way. It's like, 'cause I've built these in like in a room, like using like many small demon boxes, and I've built these experiments in a room, and they've taken like 6 hours or more to set up, and just like all this problem solving. And now it's like in a box, and you can just like plug it in and start doing immediately. And that was the goal of like making this whole like experiment, kind of plug and play, like here it is. So
How do you come up with the name?
it kind of came very spontaneously, but it came from like I really love quantum physics and the history of physics. And there's in that there's this there's Maxwell's demon, which is a famous thought experiment. And they kind of like throughout the history of science like have ascribed demons to various forces, like, oh, there's a demon that lives inside of this magnet or something. It's kind of like when we've kind of like had the unexplained in front of us, and we kind of feel that it has this potential and like a like an intelligence or like a strength, and we give it like this demon aspect because it has like a life of its own. And sort of I feel like electronics are like that. Like my phone has demons inside of it. I want to listen to them. And it's like a fun name, but it's also like meaningful because it kind of like, it can go either way. It's like the demon, like the Pandora's box or Prometheus, like fire, like this fire can warm you, but it can also burn a forest down. It's like a demon can probably, if you listen to the right demon, maybe it could guide you in the right path in your life, or it could send you over a cliff. It's like these things that are very like, a lot of potential, a lot of, a lot of potential in their meaning. So I knew it could be a thing that could be polarizing. People are like, oh, the demon box, terrible name. But then people are like, demon box, the best name ever. So it's like, what do you do? And at the end of the day, it's not changing. I just hope that it inspires people to like understand that words can have many meanings, and then you can make the meaning that becomes the meaning. So it's like the demons you find will be your own demons, and so
What's interesting is in this digital world, especially for musicians, everything is digital, and they think of, and today you'd think of acquiring a new piece of digital gear, and this is as analog, as basic analog as you can get. So the purity of that, I appreciate. I hope everybody else does.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like the heart of it and the architecture of it is analog because I wanted it to like have like a very strong core. Like, sometimes with digital things, I'm just so anxious that like, oh, it's gonna stop working one day and I won't know how to fix it. So to me, it's like, the core of it is very analog, but then it has a whole like digital side that allows you to have MIDI outputs, have CV output. And I felt like, we live in a world that we think is like getting more digital, but the thing is, it's like all human experience at the very beginning and in the end is analog. It's No matter how many computers are in a room, at the end of the day, it's an analog experience that you're seeing them and hearing them. And so I think the analog is always going to have potential because it's so ubiquitous. It's the firmament of everything. And we have to like continue to find the potential on that, because partially too is like I wanted it to run off a very low voltage. That was very important to me too, because I wanted it to be like an quote unquote environmentally friendly, or kind of like very like very a small footprint upon the world, and like not using much if any plastic, using processes that are like as friendly as you can get, so yeah. And I think like with analog too, it's like you're kind of allowing like a cleaner system too, because there's like fewer moving parts.
There's none except for the pots, the controls, right?
Yeah, it's like it's definitely fewer, and it's like it's kind of like it's moving parts. And so I very much listen to the people that have existed in history for like the wisdom that they have. And it's like I do believe it's true, the fewer moving parts is better, but it's like to get there, you have to the cogs in your mind have to move a lot. So it's not an easy thing.
All right, Alexandra, last question. What's the best piece of advice that maybe you learned along the way or somebody imparted to you?
I remember when I was in high school, I would like lie in bed and feel like I couldn't get up. And I would sit in bed and just like feel like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I'd feel like, before I even woke up, I would feel pretty depressed and like hopeless about things. And there's a time when I just said, like, I can't live like this. And like, what way can I think to help myself? And I was like, well, never judge the day until your feet are on the ground. And so, like, I was like, don't make a judgment upon the day until you've gotten out of bed and walked around a bit. And I think this is a piece of advice I'd love to give to other people, because I think it's helped me in a very fundamental way. Because, you can sit around and like kind of really talk yourself out of really important steps, but it's like don't judge yourself until your feet are on the ground, like moving a bit, because that'll kind of, you'll kind of like maybe get to where you need to go a bit better, I think so. Yeah.
Where are you at right now?
I'm based in Los Angeles now.
You are. Oh, I thought you were in New York City for some, or around that area.
I mean, I lived there for like 15 years, but it's kind of a bit too much to live there anymore. It's just so crowded, and I needed like a healthier setup. And we tried, living in Philadelphia and upstate New York, but with this instrument, I was like, well, this is kind of like it feels like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm like, there's so much access to music in LA, and a lot of it's being built in LA, different parts of it. So I just felt like we had to be out here, be close to it all, to like, try and do our best to make it what it can be. So
Well, there are worse places in the world to live, I think.
no, we've lived in a bunch of them. We're happy to be here, but yeah, it's
Excellent, excellent.
It's really amazing talking to you. I really appreciate this opportunity. It was very enjoyable to speak to you about it.
Oh, likewise. And I can't wait to actually play with one at some point in time.
Yeah, well, soon enough. All
Right, Alexander, thank you very much.
right, ciao. Bye.
Take care. Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyosinski.com. You can also learn all about the latest in music, audio, and production news, and find out about openings for my latest online classes at bobbyosinski.com. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.